Man kann sein Glück aussehen, es hegen und pflegen, langsam wachsen sehen, darauf warten.
Oder man reißt es einfach auf.
Die Lose zum Aufreißen von Lotto Bayern. Das Bayernlos, das Bayernglück, das Extragehalt oder das Megagehalt. Reiß dein Glück auf. Nur in deiner Lotto-Annahmestelle. Lotto Bayern, nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Infos unter biürk.de.
I work in a hospital call center. It's not great work, but it pays the bills. Working for a hospital call center, you get a lot of calls during your 8-hour shift. Usually, it was just people trying to find a relative who might be there, or someone trying to schedule an appointment in the surgery department, or maybe even people seeking medical advice. I'm apparently not qualified to do any of those things, so the job becomes a lot of, one moment while I transfer you. Then, they are sent to the desired department. You get a lot of angry people too, most looking for the billing department, because the hospital dared to charge them for their services. Those people are best sent off quickly, before they can get a good head of steam under them. There are 4 to 6 of us in the basement at any given time, mostly college kids or older people. And in all, I think around 10 of us work the switchboard. We take turns covering the midnight shift, most of us working the day, or midday primarily. And at the end of the month, we all walk away with a nice chunk of overtime for our trouble. People being people, there's always 12 to 16 hours of overtime a month. No one minds much. The job is easy. I used to really like having a job where I could finish my schoolwork or play on my phone for 8 to 16 hours and still get paid. That was before the heavy breather. Ah, pervert. I turned to see Mary sitting down her headset and making a notation in the call log. The notations were supposed to be for strange/unusual calls, and for the last few months, most of the entries had been for, quote, a heavy breather. We had named the caller that because all their calls were the same. You'd pick up the phone and hear the telltale heavy breathing on the other end and know what was going on. We all figured it was some pervert, some lonely sicko trying to get his rocks off to someone on the other end. He'd hang up before he could get the satisfaction and make a note of it in the logbook. I say these things like they were regular occurrences, but in truth, I had yet to get the mystery caller. Every other operator had gotten him at least twice, sometimes 3 or 4, but I never managed to see what all the fuss was about. "He say anything this time?" I asked her without really expecting any great revelations. "Just heavy breathing as usual. I wish this pervert would get a life and find someone else to bother." I agreed, though I'd never spoken to him. I knew he was a nuisance, but secretly I wished I could get this mystery caller like everyone else. I wanted to be part of the outrage. I knew it was petty, but I wanted to hear the ragged breaths on the other end. I wanted to be like everyone else who'd gotten the call. But I look back now and wish I'd never heard of the mystery caller. I would get my wish 3 days later. 3 days of midnights? My boss shrugged at me as she sank the pushpins into the bulletin board. She posted our schedule by hand every week, despite the rest of the hospital having access to an electronic payroll system that generates the schedule for the week. Martha is old school though. Probably been here since they pulled her out the foundation when they broke ground, and she's one of the best bosses I've ever had. She doesn't like how short-handed we are any more than we do. "Sorry, Roger says he's taking the weekend off to go visit his boyfriend. I swear, I'd have fired him on the spot if we weren't so short-handed. You're the only one with an open schedule, kid. I'll give you next weekend off for it if you want. Scout's honor." Martha couldn't have known that this would likely be the last weekend I ever sat behind the desk. Friday night went normally. I arrived at 11 p.m, brewed a thermos of coffee, and got to my desk around 11:15. Jordan and Aiden were there, finishing up their calls or cleaning up their stations as they waited for midnight. We chatted a little as I logged on, discussing call volumes and talking about tonight's call-in schedule. Apparently, there was a team I needed to call in at 4 a.m. for a 5 a.m. case, and they added that the heavy breather had been calling a lot today. "They don't say anything. They just keep calling about once an hour like they're looking for someone. Pam swears she heard them say a name before they hung up, but Pam likes to make stuff up for attention." I got a little excited when Jordan told me that. If they were calling more often, then maybe I'd get to talk to them. I know it's weird to hope that a crazy pervert will call you up and breathe on the phone, but I really wanted the experience. I felt like it would make me like everyone else, and I was a little sore that I hadn't gotten him yet. I would get my wish about an hour later. It was around 12:30 when they called. I was sitting in the call center basement, sipping coffee and checking Reddit on my phone, when I heard the computer chirp and inform me that I had a call. It was from an unlisted number, not that uncommon, and when I picked it up, it sounded like someone was sitting too close to a fan or driving with the window down. The blowing was annoying, but I was professional and I tried to power through it. "Southwest Medical Center, how may I help you?" The noise on the other end sounded different slightly. I realized that it wasn't a fan, but rain, coming down hard on a window somewhere. Was it raining outside? It hadn't been when I came in. There hadn't been a cloud in the sky. The rain covered it slightly, but as I sat in silence, I began to hear the deep breathing on the other end. There he was. There was the weird caller. "Hello, Southwest Medical, can I help you?" The breathing persisted, overtopped by the rain that hit hard on the windows of wherever they were. I reached for the book to start scribbling down the usual message when I heard something over the phone. I heard a voice. "I'm sorry?" I asked, taken aback. "It's always dark here." The pen fell out of my hand. No one had ever heard this person talk before. It was always just heavy breathing for a couple of minutes before they hung up. Had they been waiting for something? I wondered for a moment if they talked before and maybe no one had told me. Or was I the first person they talked to? "It's always dark here," they repeated. And this time, I stopped thinking and really listened. "Where are you?" I asked, not sure what else to say. "The rain is so loud tonight," they said. The voice was neither male nor female, and sounded low and growly, like someone was getting over a cold. "Look, I'm not sure who you are, but you've called a hospital. If you need some help, I'll be happy to help you, but otherwise, I need to..."
"Cherish says hi," the voice whispered.
That made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I had a sister named Cherish. She was about 12, and as far as I knew, she was asleep at my parents' house. I shook off the fear and began to become angry. Whoever this was, they were obviously having a laugh on my account, and it really wasn't funny. "Who is this?" "Roger, if this is you, then I swear to God I'm going to HR. This isn't a little bit funny, and you need to..." But that's when the line went dead. I held the phone against my ear for a few more seconds before putting it in the cradle and looking around nervously. I expected Roger or Jordan to pop out of the break room with their cell phone, laughing because they had spooked me. But all the company I got was the sound of the air conditioning cycling overhead. I sat for a few more minutes, drumming my fingers and trying to forget the call. But the more I thought about it, the weirder it got. My co-workers would have called back to make fun of me if this had been a prank. If it wasn't them, then some stranger on the phone had called up and said my sister's name. Coincidence or not, I needed to be sure. My mom picked up on the fourth ring, and I could hear Dad grumbling in the background.
"Hello?" she asked blearily.
"Mom, hey, I'm sorry.
Is Cherish okay? I know that's a weird question, but... I could hear Mom sitting up in bed. Are you okay? You sound very upset. Please, just answer me. Is Cherish okay? I don't know, hun. She's asleep, away at camp this week. My blood ran cold. I need you to call down there and make sure that she's okay. Hun, what's all this about? She asked, groggily. I got a weird call a minute ago, and I have to make sure she's okay. My phone rang, and I looked at the number. Unknown name and unknown number. It couldn't be them again. Mom, I need to call you back. Just promise me you'll call the camp and make sure she's okay. Mom said she would, and I hung up and picked the phone back up. I was immediately bombarded by the sound of rain on glass and muffled, heavy breathing. The caller's voice sounded watery, slurry, like they'd recently choked on some water. They sounded like someone with a sore throat and a bad case of pneumonia. Like a drowned person. Hello? Who is this? Cherish needs your help. I gritted my teeth and tried not to scream into the phone. Whoever this is, you need to stop. I'm not amused and you are not funny. I want you to... He's gone to get her. She thinks he's her friend, but he isn't. He wants to hurt her. You have to stop her. Who's gone to get her? The woodsman. He's a bad man. And he wants your sister. I didn't have the slightest idea who this person was talking about, but whatever the game was, I was starting to freak out. Look, this isn't funny. If this is a joke or something, it's really gone to... The line went dead then, and I was left with static. I spent the next hour in a fitful state. I didn't want to call Mom back and bother her with this. But what if whoever that wasn't kidding around? Surely my sister wasn't stupid enough to go off with someone into the woods, right? I didn't know, and that lack of knowledge made me nervous. I began to feel the walls of the basement closing in on me, and the claustrophobia feeling made me shake. When the phone rang again, I caught it on the first ring without even looking. Hello? I could hear the quiver in my voice. The rain was softer now, but the voice was no less intrusive. He has her. It all but screamed at me, and I thought I could hear someone in the background, crying and screaming just under the raspy husk. He's hurting her. Please hurry. Where are you? I screamed, almost crushing the phone in my hand. Where has he taken her? If this was a prank, I was buying it, hook, line, and sinker. I could hear someone, a small girl it sounded like, screaming and crying as someone did God knows what to her. My cell phone roared to life. I looked down to see that it was Mom and picked it up without thinking. Mom was hysterical on the other end. She and Dad were in the car and driving up to the camp. The counselors had gone to check on Cherish and found her bed empty. What's more, they found muddy boot tracks going into a cabin and then leaving out the same way. They can't seem to track them. The rain here has been torrential. But the state police are bringing in tracking dogs and they're going to get started as soon as they can. She's in the woods, Mom. Someone has her. I sputtered, still hearing their screams on the phone. My mom was silent for a few breaths. How do you know that? I've got a caller on the phone who says she's alive, but it sounds like he's hurting her. They're in the woods, Mom. Tell them to search the woods. She hung up on me, and when I picked up the phone, it had gone dead again. I sat in the silence and felt utterly impotent. Should I leave and go help them look? My job wasn't really the thing holding me here. I was sure people would understand if I abandoned my post, but I was hoping that the mystery caller would give me more information. Every second counted now. If my information could help them find her a little quicker, then all the better. I muddled through a few late night calls while I waited, and I'm sure the people on the other end could tell I was tense. After an hour, Mum called to let me know they had arrived. The rain had made it very difficult for the dogs to find a trail, but they'd started searching the woods anyway. The police were confident they could locate her, but Mum wasn't so sure. She sounded scared and tired and just plain defeated. When she hung up, I stared at the phone on my desk and willed the mystery caller to call me. They'd been so chatty before. Why had they gone silent now? I pulled up the call logs on my computer then and started trying to find the number. No name, no number was all I ever got though. I know in movies the police can easily decode these private numbers, but I work for a hospital and not even the emergency part of the hospital. My resources were limited to what I could do on the out-of-date computer I'd been given to work with. When the phone rang 20 minutes later, I looked at the number and almost knocked it off the desk in my haste. No name, no number. Hello? Hello? Where are you? I need you to... He's killing her, the voice whispered harshly. He's trying to make it last, but he's killing her. Where are you? The police are looking for her, but I need to know where you are. The voice went silent for a moment, and I thought I'd lost them again. On the other end, I could hear whimpering, and the person making those noises sounded broken. Hot tears ran down my face as I listened to what could be my sister's final breaths, and I began to beg the voice to tell me where they were. I lay my head on the desk and cried and let the tears flow as the voice seemed to contemplate how to answer me. When played here, it was about a mile from the camp, over a creek, past the blackberry fields, and up a little hill. His house is at the top of that hill. I've been here for so long, though, I don't know if any of those things are still there. Please hurry, she doesn't have much longer. The line went dead then. I called my mom and gave her the information. When she relayed it to some of the counsellors, they knew exactly where she was talking about. The house had belonged to the groundskeeper, and he had lived there for a long time. She said the police were on their way now to check it out, and she asked me to thank the person on the phone if they called back. I waited for an hour, another long and agonising hour, and when my cell phone rang, the number made my skin crawl. Unknown name, unknown caller. Were they calling my cell phone this time? That seemed unlikely, and when I picked it up, I was greeted not by the raspy voice of a sick child, but by the stony voice of Officer Darroway from the State Police. He told me they had found Cherish and the groundskeeper in his cabin. She's not in a good way. The guy used the time he had for some pretty upsetting things. She's alive, and we're sending her by life flight to the nearest hospital, the one you work at, I believe. I thanked him and told him to tell my parents that I would be waiting for her when she got here. Your mother tells us that you've been in contact with another child and that they gave you directions to finding your sister. Yeah, she just called me out of the blue. I don't even know how she knew my number. He was silent for a moment. You'll forgive me for saying so, but that seems highly unlikely. I started. How do you mean? The groundskeeper didn't have a phone in his cabin. His cell phone was on his person when we recovered him, and there was no other children in the cabin. That's impossible. They said they'd been there for a very long time. They've been calling for weeks. Look, I appreciate you helping us find your sister, but this whole story seems very far-fetched. That being said, I don't think we'd have found your sister without your help. I want to take a statement from you when we get there. But just know that we don't consider you in any way connected with this, despite the oddness of your claim." I thanked him, and he hung up. I was getting ready to call Marta, the 6 a.m. person, so she could come in to relieve me, when a familiar caller popped up on my screen. No name, no number. And I picked it up as I prepared to thank the caller for their help. I just started thanking them when I heard the heavy breathing on the other end and stopped. The sound was completely different. The caller had a husky tone to his breathing, and you could clearly hear their breaths dragging up and down as they went about whatever they were doing. This was no child's breathing. This was an adult. And I hung up the call before I could think about it too much. I sat there in a daze as I pulled the call log towards me. I logged the heavy breather, but thought for a moment about recording the other caller too. They had saved my sister's life, whoever they had been, and I thought better of adding them to the log. I called Marta and told her what had happened. She agreed to come in for me, and I said I'd see her soon before I hung up. I'm sitting with my sister now in the ICU, but I can't help but wonder who that mystery caller was. How did they call me? How did they know where to find me? My sister is heavily sedated right now, but I'm a little afraid of what she might tell me when she comes out. Does she know who the girl is? Did she tell her how to contact me? I'm afraid to go back to work now. I'm afraid of who else might call me when I again man the desk. What other lost souls might be just a phone call away?